You are listening to the Advisor Solutions Podcast, episode 94. Welcome to the Advisor Solutions Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Finley, president of Advisor Solutions. Do you know how to create an instant connection with prospects? And if so, do you know why they're connected with you? Most likely, you don't. And if so, know this, you are not alone. Most financial advisors, insurance agents, wholesalers, branch managers, and even agency managers don't know strategies for creating an instant connection. And they don't even know it. And the reason they don't know it is because they've never really learned the techniques that it takes to increase their interpersonal soft skill sets at communicating with others. In other words, if all you focus on is the information that you provide prospects and not on the connection that you can create with them, then most likely they won't work with you because they don't feel connected. I'm sure you've heard the old saying, people tend to work with people that they like, and people tend to like people that are like them. But how do you help people understand that you're like them? It's by knowing what to do to instantly make that connection. So what do? Well, you have two choices. You can keep doing what you're doing, and you're going to keep getting what you're getting, or you could learn strategies for creating an instant connection. And that's what we're going to talk about today. How to connect on a practical, emotional, and social level so that prospects and clients understand that you understand them. So, if you're ready to learn strategies for making an instant connection, then stick around. So why this topic? Why would you want to learn strategies for making an instant connection? Well, think of it this way. You get more success if you know how to connect with others than if you don't. The reason is because when you learn great communication skill sets, you create connections. And connections with prospects is the quickest way to turn those prospects into clients. And that's why I wanted to do this podcast today. Because I wanted you to understand some of the ways to increase your communication skill sets so that you can instantly connect with others and have more success. So what we're going to do are three things in this podcast. First, the three mindsets of cognitive language so that you understand what's happening in your meetings. Second, the top five communication exercises, so that you understand how to increase your communication skill sets. And third, the next level, so that you know what to do when you're ready to succeed. Now, before we jump into those three things that we're going to learn in this podcast, I need to ask you a few questions. What would your business be like and your life be like if you knew exactly what to do to create instant connections with anybody? Would you feel energized? Would you feel empowered? Would you like your business more? And would you apply what you learn? If the answer is yes, then let's begin. The three mindsets of cognitive language. Recently, I've discovered a new book. It's a book by Charles Duhigg. It's called Super Communicators: How to Unlock the Secret Language of Connection. Now, this is actually his third book. In fact, you might have heard of the first book that he published. It was called The Power of Habits. What he talks about in this book, in his new book, is that we have three mindsets inside our brains when we're in a conversation. In other words, we have three kinds of conversations that are dominating most discussions. He says that whenever we speak, we're actually participating in one of those three conversations. Practical, in other words, what's this about? Emotional, in other words, how do we feel? And social, in other words, who are we? If you don't know what kind of conversation you're having with that person that you're speaking to, then the other person is unlikely to be connected to you. You see, those three questions capture what type of conversation we're having at any given time. Again, the questions are, number one, what's this really about, which is practical or decision-making conversations. Number two, how do we feel, which is emotional conversations. And number three, who are we, which are social conversations that involve our identities. You see, each of these conversations draws on a different mindset and process. And when we have a conversation about a choice or what's this really about conversation, we're activating a different part of the brain than when we're having a conversation about emotions or answering the question of how do we feel about this situation. And get this, if our minds don't align with the person that we're talking to, then that person won't feel that they're understood. Again, as a result, you won't have a connection. So let's take a deeper look into each of the mindsets. Mindset number one, the decision-making mindset. The decision-making mindset is associated with the topic of what's this really about conversations. You see, it's activated when we're thinking about practical matters like thinking about the future, discussing options, and making choices. Questions like, when would you like to retire? What type of lifestyle would you like to have in retirement? And do you think an in-depth retirement plan can help you to have that lifestyle that you want in retirement? Questions like that activate the listener, or in this case, the prospect, to be thinking practical or rational. Let's go to the next mindset. Mindset number two, the emotional mindset. See, the emotional mindset is associated with the topic of how do we feel in the conversation? And it's activated when we're telling a funny story or getting a rush of excitement in a conversation because of the emotional mindset is really at work at the time. But it can also happen when other people are telling you a story about, let's say, having a bad day, and we ask the question like, how are you holding up? Because we've actually tuned into their emotions and what they're going through. See, questions like, how will you feel if you don't have enough money in retirement? Or, what concerns you most about having a comfortable retirement? Questions like that will give the listener, or in this case, the prospect, it will help them to tap into the emotional mindset of how they're feeling about the conversation. So the emotional mindset is a pretty powerful conversation to have. Let's go to the next mindset. Mindset number three, the social mindset. See, the social mindset is associated with the topic of who are we conversations, or our relationship with others, how we see ourselves, or how we associate our identity. You see, these conversations happen often when you're looking for common ground, or just stumble across common ground when you realize that you have something in common with the listener, or in this case, the prospect, such as the same organizations that you belong to, or you went to the same college, or you have the same friends in common. The interesting thing is that when you or the prospect is in the social mindset, you're both evaluating how you perceive the social identity of the other person. Thoughts like, I can relate to that person, or they get me, or I see myself working with that person, might come to mind. There was a study done in 1997, and it was published in the Journal of Human Nature, which they found that 70% of the conversations that people have are social conversations with a social mindset. And I believe it's because people are trying to connect in the conversation, and they look for ways to make that connection by trying to find common ground. It's very common. And you probably do it all the time, and you don't even know it. So what do these three mindsets have to do with you? Well, conversations are fluid, so these mindsets might switch during the conversation. But if we aren't, quote, in, unquote, the same conversation as the person we're talking to, we're not going to make a connection. And we're not going to get very far before that other person starts to feel disconnected Take, for example, if a prospect is speaking emotionally while you're speaking, let's say, practically, you're basically speaking a different cognitive language than they are. And they won't feel connected. And that's why it's so important to know that to become a super communicator, as the author puts it, well, all you need to do is to listen closely to what's being said and unsaid so that you understand the mindset at the time or the cognitive language. Ask the right questions. We're going to talk about that in a second. Recognize and match others' moods and make our own feelings, or in this case, your own feelings, easy for them to perceive. Now, that might seem like a lot, but how do we get better at communicating with others and getting better at our communication style? Well, that is what we're going to talk about next. The top five communication exercises. In a previous podcast, episode 93, Building Your Business Soft Skills, I tell a story of a senior advisor who wanted me to teach his team of six financial advisors interpersonal soft skills, or how to connect with others. I explain how his main focus was to make sure that his advisors could connect with anyone, anywhere, at any time. So, we would meet for what I called a team coaching session each week, and we'd actually spend an entire month on a topic until the team mastered the subject. The team coaching sessions lasted 2 years, and each advisor became great at making what I call effortless connections. In other words, when they learned the tool or technique and we role-played the exercise that I created to help them to be able to easily use what we learned, it soon became natural for them to connect with others. And that connection was not only effortless, but it was instant. What I didn't know at the time when I was creating this was that I would create a number of new exercises that would help them and countless other advisors, agents, and wholesalers over the years. And I didn't know that I was going to create all of these, but over the course of 2 years, it just evolved. And I created a lot of exercises. We would be role-playing a technique about a specific subject, and I would, or the senior advisor would, realize that something was missing. Something just wasn't right. You see, the prospect just wasn't connecting during the role play. Then, we would talk about why there was a disconnection, and I would research the solution, or just know what worked for other advisors and agents, and I'd develop an exercise. Then, we would role play it until they mastered the technique. So what does this have to do with you? Well, after I finished last week's episode, I thought about it, and I thought about all of the different exercises that we created, or that I created over the years. And I thought it was important to continue the topic by introducing at least some of the exercises that we did in team coaching, so that you could apply them yourself. Now, for the sake of time, I can't really cover a lot of these. In fact, I can't cover every one of them. But I did want you to get an idea of some of the most important exercises that can have the biggest impact on your ability to connect with others. So let's jump into the first exercise. Number one, the monologue versus dialogue exercise. In addition to doing team coaching with the senior advisor's six advisors that were on his team, I also did individual coaching with each one of them twice a month. And one day, I was in a coaching session with Jake. That's not his real name. A rookie advisor with 2 years of experience. We role-played the first appointment, and he was asking me questions. But get this. All of my answers were just yes or no answers. So I wasn't really connected. He was asking questions like, are you the business owner? Yeah. Do you have a business partner? No. Have you had the business for a long time? Yeah. And so on. And that's when I created an exercise to help him focus on turning the first appointment process into a dialogue instead of a monologue. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go through the steps. And if you're sitting down, grab a piece of paper and write these steps down in each one of these steps for the exercises. And if you're listening in your car, you might want to listen to this again and create the exercise yourself so that you can role play it with someone else, maybe a colleague or a staff member. The following is a step-by-step process to create the monologue versus dialogue exercise so you can increase your skill sets at asking open-ended questions. But let's go into each step. Step one, understand closed-ended versus open-ended questions. The two common types of questions are closed-ended questions and open-ended questions. A closed-ended question is a question that limits the type of response that someone could make. And they're typically used to finalize a point. An open-ended question is a question that encourages the type of and the amount of response that somebody might make. They're typically used to deepen the conversation. So, open-ended questions are who, what, why, where, when, and how, and which. Closed-ended questions, is, would, could, should, do, did, does. So step two, create the monologue versus dialogue scorecard. See, once you understand closed-ended and open-ended questions, make a vertical line on a piece of paper and create two columns. Label the left column closed-ended questions and the right column open-ended questions. Next, write the following closed-ended questions. Is, would, could, should, do, did, does. And put those on the left side of the column under the closed-ended questions. Then write the open-ended questions. Who, what, why, where, when, how, and which under the right column. Step three, play the monologue versus dialogue exercise. So the advisor will role play a first appointment process. And what they're going to do is they're going to ask questions. When they ask an open-ended question, check off each question on the right column when they ask an open-ended question. And the goal is to try and ask all of the open-ended questions during the role play to make a great connection. If this is accomplished, the advisor won the game. If not, the advisor lost the game. And what you do is you keep score of the closed-ended questions as well to determine which types of questions are being asked most. So why does this work? Why does knowing how to create a dialogue versus monologue work so well? The reason using open-ended questions works so well is because it gets the listener to open up, which in turn creates the connection. The reason why Jake could easily make a connection in our role play after we did this was because of the way he was asking questions. See, his questions were doing just that. It was allowing me to start talking more. So the next time you feel disconnected, just know that it's most likely you're stuck in a monologue. And when this happens, ask open-ended questions to create a dialogue. Watch how quickly your prospects open up. Let's go to the next exercise. Number two, the spin selling scorecard summary exercise. Spin selling is the process of using specific types of questions to help understand a prospect or a client's situation, the problems that they have, the implication of not fixing the problems, and the value of your solutions. This process helps prospects understand why they need your products and solutions. Remember, people hate to be sold, but they love to buy. Now, they're going to buy all day long if they understand why. And here are some of the examples of spin selling questions. Number one, situational-based questions. These uncover facts such as, how old are you? Are you married? Do you have any kids? Are you the business owner? Number two, problem-based questions. They uncover the problem. What concerns you most about your business? Number three, implication-based questions. These questions uncover the implication of not fixing the problem. What do you think will happen if your employees don't have a company plan? Number four, needs payoff question. How would it help you most if I put together a company plan, showed you how you can reduce your taxes and help your employees? Now, the spin selling scorecard exercise is designed to help advisors and agents learn how to use a variety of spin selling questions in a series of combinations, focusing on several of the same types of questions before moving on to the next type. It's also designed to help the advisor summarize the answers and lead the prospect or the client to a clear path of understanding the value that you have, that the advisor has, which are your solutions. Now, I've simplified this exercise because I'm explaining it on this podcast, and I hope that you can visualize what it looks like. And here are the steps. The advisor is doing a first appointment process with a colleague who's going to play the role of the prospect. The advisor has what I call the spin selling cheat sheet in front of them. If you want one, just shoot me an email and I'll send it over to you. This is a one-pager that has several examples of problem-based questions, implication-based questions, needs payoff questions. So questions like, what concerns you most? What do you think will happen if? How would it benefit you most? Then the advisor also has the spin selling scorecard summary in front of them. You can make your own by simply grabbing a piece of paper and writing down, number one, situational answers, and then about a third of the way down the page, number two, problem-based answers, and a third of the way down the page, number three, implication-based answers, and at the bottom of the page, needs payoff question. So here's how it works. The advisor has 10 minutes to ask spin selling questions. They can use the sheet of paper that's in front of them, the cheat sheet, or if they've memorized it, they can easily ask spin selling questions. Every time the prospect answers, the advisor writes down the answer on the spin selling scorecard. And after 10 minutes, the advisor summarizes all of their notes. So if they ask a situational-based question, how old are you? 57. They'd write down 57 underneath situational-based answers. Are you the business owner? Yes. They'd write down business owner, and so on. Are you married? Yes. Do you have two kids? And so on. And then we'd go into any problem-based questions, any implication-based questions. But get this, it's kind of like shuffling a deck of cards. You don't have to go SPIN. You can go with any combination. But if you start off with situational and end with needs payoff, it's much more powerful. And as you're summarizing all of your answers, you finish with that needs payoff question to set the next appointment. How would it benefit you most if we got together this time next week and you had a full financial plan that showed you how much you'll need in retirement, how much income stream you'll have in retirement, and what happens if you don't make it to retirement? What happens to your family, that is. See, the reason why this exercise works so well is because it forces you to do five things. Number one, use spin selling questions. Number two, write down spin selling answers. That's what I call it anyway. Number three, summarize each category of the answer. So if it's a problem-based question that you ask, what concerns you most, and they answer, you write it in the problem-based answer area on your sheet of paper. Number four, finish off by asking a needs payoff question. And number five, it helps you make better connections. See, when you get good at this exercise, you'll find that you can always set the second appointment or closing appointment before the prospect leaves your office. And it gets to be easy to do that first appointment process. Let's go to the next exercise. Exercise three. Number three, the problem pause exercise. So one of the hardest things for advisors and agents and wholesalers to do when using spin selling during the first appointment process is being able to identify when to move from the situational-based questions, uncovering facts, to problem-based questions to get them to talk about problems. The reason is because advisors and agents are not listening intently to the prospect's story and thinking about possible challenges that the prospect has or willing to have or will have in the future. And as a result, they're not transitioning into problem-based questions. What concerns you most? What keeps you up at night? Things like that. So the following is a brief exercise that I'm going to cover on how to do the problem pause exercise. And we do this in group, and it's actually one of the most fun exercises that I have. And I call it the problem pause exercise because we're going to pause the role play. Here's how it works. Number one, the prospect writes down, before role play starts, writes down a problem that they might have, such as, I don't have life insurance, or I don't have a DI insurance, or I don't have a financial plan, or I don't know, whatever it is, whatever the problem is. Number two, the advisor asks as many situational-based questions as needed to understand the prospect's situation. Number three, the advisor also uses what I call the filler formula, I'll explain that later, to connect with the prospect. Number four, the prospect answers the advisor's questions, starts to paint a picture of the situation. Number five, get this, anyone, meaning the advisor or anybody listening to the role play, which I call the spectators, can identify the possible problem during the role play, and they can pause the role play by saying, pause. And when they pause the role play, they have to explain what they think the problem is. If the person who pauses the role play is right by confirming the problem with the prospect, an example might be, you don't have a financial plan, that's your problem. And the prospect says yes, that person's out of the game. So the game continues with a new advisor and prospect until only one person is left in the game. One person that hasn't figured out how to find problems. See, the reason why the problem pause exercise works so well is because, I've got to say, it's one of the most fun exercises to do. And it works well because what we're doing is we're getting the whole group involved in finding the problem. And when we do the process of elimination, it becomes pretty competitive. You see, you not only want to win each round, but you don't want to be the last person who can't find problems. Let's go to the next exercise. Number four, the filler formula exercise. So creating a connection during any meeting is essential in building a relationship with the prospect or a client. But most advisors and agents fail to have a formula for doing that. Instead, they focus on asking a series of canned questions and making overly scripted statements to the prospect. What they fail to realize is that there is a number of ways to bind the conversation together to help the prospect or the client feel more connected. To better illustrate this point, think of questions and/or statements as bricks, and think of conversation fillers as mortar. Just as you would never really build a brick wall without mortar, you should never really have a meeting without fillers. So let me explain the five forms of fillers. There are five forms of fillers that you can use at any time with prospects or clients, and typically, you would only use one form before using another. But you can stack them if you want to. I'll explain what I mean in a second. So the first one, acknowledgement statements. You do it all the time. It's, uh-huh, okay, I see. So you ask a question, they answer, and you sprinkle in, oh, okay, something like that. The second, stories. And you might say, you know, that reminds me of a client that I had years ago, and you tell a story. Number three, sound bites. Now, you might be talking about, let's say, risk and somebody losing money every single time the market pulls back, and you might throw in a sound bite like, you know what Einstein said about the definition of insanity? It's doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Or what about curiosity questions? That's number four. Curiosity questions. So you ask a question, they answer, and you say, why is that? Why do you think blank? And the fifth one, empathetic listening. There's four levels of empathetic listening. They're mimicking, reflecting what you heard, feelings, and reflecting and feelings. And now that you understand what fillers are, it's time to learn how to use them in an actual role play. So here's the exercise, the filler formula exercise. Number one, the advisor, prospect, and spectator have what I call the filler formula scorecard in front of them. before the exercise begins. And you can create your own. You can create one out by just writing question, and then below that, answer, below that, filler. Okay? And now these are the three rows. What you do is you make 10 columns. Each column represents what I call a round or an inning. So if you ask a question, you're the advisor, they answer, and then you do a filler, you just did the first column, question, answer, filler. Number two, the coach chooses who the advisor and the prospect will be and counts down to start. 3, 2, 1, go. Now, number three, the advisor asks a question and everybody puts a check mark on the first column and the first row, which is question. Number four, the prospect answers the question and everybody puts a check mark on the first column, second row, for answer. Number five, the advisor then adds a filler and everybody checks off for the first column, third row, for filler. Now, what some people do is they've got the cheat sheet in front of them, the Advisor Solutions Filler Formula Cheat Sheet, so they know the types of fillers that they can do. And you've got to do this within about 2 seconds. So it's question, answer, filler. And you've got about 2 seconds to come up with a filler. Now, the advisor will begin the process again with column two when they start to ask question, answer, filler again. And after the role play, the coach will ask the prospect if they felt connected and when did they feel most connected. And the coach, prospect, and the spectators will critique really how the advisor did so that the advisor can understand how to improve their process. So let me tell you why the filler formula exercise works. It works so well because it forces the advisor to consistently use fillers. And when they do this, it helps the prospect feel connected because they know that the advisor is listening. And also, it's a lot of fun. It's fun to watch the advisor make that instant connection. Let's go to the last exercise. Number five, the agreement close exercise. Becoming a great closer is essential to being successful in this business. But just knowing how to ask for the order isn't always enough. You also need to identify key opportunities of when to ask for the order and have a strategic process to take the prospect down before ever asking for the order. And that's why I created the agreement close, which is a three-step process. Here's an example. If somebody were to say something like, quote, "I'm not sure how much money I lost in the market last year," unquote. So if I heard that, I would do three steps. Step one, agree. That's exactly why we need to meet. Step two, benefits. Because you need to know how much risk you're taking in the market before the market pulls back again. Step three, close. Do you have any time at Tuesday at 3 or Wednesday at 4? Which one's better for you? That's also why I've designed the agreement close exercise to help you to be able to do that effortlessly, by helping you to strengthen your skill set, to help you to know when to close and how to close easily. Here's how the agreement close exercise works. Number one, the prospect uses the agreement close exercise cheat sheet, which you can design on your own with the following columns. All you have to do is take an Excel worksheet and make the first column key closing phrase. The next column, empathy/acknowledgement. The next column is agree. And the next column is benefit. And the final column is close. Number two, the prospect chooses one or more of the key closing phrases that are on that sheet. Now, you literally can sprinkle in as many as you want. They typically have words like think, should, and I guess in them, such as, "I think I lost money last year, I don't know," or "I guess I'm not taking too much risk." You see, that would prompt you to do the agreement close because you don't want to guess that you're not taking too much risk. The third step, the prospect will use a key closing phrase during the role play when they think it's appropriate. So during the first appointment process, they'll sprinkle in a key closing phrase. Number four, the advisor will use the agreement close exercise to identify the phrase and follow the steps across the row. And something you should be aware of, you should fill out the exercise before the group coaching session. So if everybody's got the same key closing phrases and you've filled this out before the exercise, it's pretty easy. When you hear it, you just go right across the row, reading it across. Number five, the prospect can decide whether to loop back around into another key closing phrase, an objection, or agree with the advisor. And then the role play is over because the prospect is closed. Number six, the spectators and the coach will listen to the key closing phrases and be critiquing the advisor's progress. And number seven, once the coach and the spectators have critiqued the advisor's process and progress, the coach will assign the advisor and the prospect roles to another group member. And you do this for about 5 to 10 minutes. So why does the agreement close exercise work? Well, it works so well because it forces the advisor to listen for opportunities to close. And when you do this in group, you'll absolutely be able to do this in your business. The next level. So I said we covered three things in this podcast. First, the three mindsets of cognitive language. Check, we did that. Second, the top five communication exercises. Check, we did that too. Now what we're going to talk about is the next level, so that you know what to do when you're ready for success. What you probably know by now is that having strategies for instant connections is absolutely something that you can do in your business. Other advisors do it all the time, and they've been doing it for years. But what you might not know is that getting the right coaching can help you apply those techniques a lot faster. In fact, I've been in the industry for over 30 years, and I've been coaching advisors and agents since 2004. And I've taken advisors and agents and wholesalers of every type to the next level. The only real question is, are you ready for the next level and to take the next step? So what is the next step? Well, the next step is to reach out to me. Email me at dan@advisorsolutionsinc.com. And in the subject line, just write, "Let's talk." And we'll set up a time for a free coaching session so we can talk about any challenges that you have and the solutions that have worked for other advisors and agents. And this is absolutely the right step in the right direction. Because if you do set up that free session, I'm confident that I can help you with the strategies to make instant connections. Well, thank you for listening to this Advisor Solutions podcast. If you liked what you heard, please be sure to subscribe so you can listen each week. Also, check us out on the web at AdvisorSolutionsInc.com. And finally, if you like what you heard and you want to know more about the Advisor Solutions group coaching program or the Advisor Solutions individual coaching programs, please email me at dan@advisorsolutionsinc.com. I would be happy to set up a free coaching session if that's what you'd like. Again, that's dan@advisorsolutionsinc.com. Please join us next week as we help advisors and agents build a better business, one solution at a time.